Greetings, greetings. Happy daylight savings times to everybody. Hope everybody's doing well, digging the weather, digging the light, digging the warmth. It is me, Mafia Wife. Welcome once again to another episode. Sometimes in my recordings, I will, you know, talk about whatever's on my mind. Sometimes I'll read excerpts from this manuscript that I am working on. And, you know, I never have, you know, too hard of an agenda. But I know in a recent episode, I talked about being in Antigua with the Godfather and then coming back and, you know, happening to find this property that, you know, sort of checked all the boxes. And I don't remember if I said in that episode that we had put a contract in, and we did put a contract in, and we are closing on said property, not tomorrow, but the next day. So that's super exciting. We are selling the previous property that we had purchased, thinking that we were going to build on that. But this particular property is the one that we will be developing and building on. I believe I mentioned that it has a pond, it has horses, it has, you know, the Totopotamy Creek, you know, along one side and going around the back that you can see, you know, from the top of a bluff. It's just dynamic in every way. What I didn't talk about when we were in Antigua, I don't think I talked about this. The place we stayed was very small, and that was our intention. And the day that we were leaving, I was sitting on a bench at the front under a sort of a covered breezeway. The Godfather was squaring things up at the front desk, and across from me, there was an older guy seated with a younger boy, who I presumed was his grandson, which, as it turns out, it was his grandson. So we were talking about, you know, what their experience had been like, what they were up to, and going back and forth with each other about how nice it was to travel, you know, with children, and how much the children get out of the experiences, blah, blah, blah. So the grandfather and the grandson were seated across from me. And then I was seated alone on this bench. I was waiting for the Godfather. But in the meantime, another guy walked up and he took the seat beside me. As it turns out, it was the grandfather's son and the boy's father. So we were all talking and just, you know, having a very organic conversation about, you know, the experience, and then expanding also on what I had mentioned about traveling with children and how great it is. And, you know, he was, you know, we were of like minds. We were connecting over that. And then eventually his wife came up, and then the Godfather came up, and we were all talking. In the process of that conversation, you know, I said that we have four daughters, knock on wood, they're all living, you know, within good proximity to us. We have five grandchildren, and, you know, how nice it was to have everybody so close together, and that hopefully our youngest, who's still in grad school, would, you know, decide to want to be near us too. And he said, oh, what's she studying? And, you know, I said, oh, she's at the Brand Center, blah, blah, blah. And he was very curious about the school. And he said, I should know about that. He said, that's what I do. I invest in emerging brands. And so I said, yeah, it's through VCU, blah, blah, blah. And he said, I'm definitely going to check into it, you know, when we get back today. They were going on an excursion off property. We were flying home. So he said, I will look into it as soon as I get back. And I was like, okay. You know, and so I guess I mentioned that our youngest daughter was interested in interning in New York this summer. at this time, I didn't know where this guy was from or what he specifically did for a living. But as the conversation progressed, it turns out that he is he's an investment banker and a co-founder of this firm that has a real specialty in investing in certain very specific brands that have, you know, something to really contribute in a good way globally. And as it turns out, he lives in Connecticut. His office is in downtown New York. And he said, you know, have your daughter send me her portfolio, you know, about an internship. So he gave us his number, very generous, very down to earth. He didn't have to do that. We didn't ask. I didn't know the name of the firm. But when we got to the airport, we called Ella and said, look, we met this guy, blah, 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 from talking to him. And before we called Ella, you know, we looked into this guy and he's a major heavy hitter. And, you know, his firm, of which he is co-founder, invests in brands that some I'm familiar with, some I'm not. One is the Museum of Ice Cream, and that happens to be something that we, Ella and I, visited last summer in New York, and they have locations in a handful of cities around the globe. But the work that he does is, you know, is valuable and interesting. And I could just tell that he had that kind of personality and curious mind that other heavy hitters that I know tend to have. They're curious people. They're interested in connection. They value mentorship. They're not totally ego-driven. They have a good work ethic. They're family-oriented, et cetera, et cetera. We just connected. Excuse me, I am thirsty. So, you know, we encouraged Ella to submit her portfolio and advised her on what to say in that initial text that she was sending. And so she did. And then the following week, I guess, or the week after that, was her spring break. So, you know, when I am, you know, in the beginnings of a project, I have to really get inside of it. You know, I have to really conceptualize. It takes me a long time to inhabit, you know, that space before I actually put it to paper. And then I know that I have to, you know, get serious about scouting. And that's what I did, you know, with these other projects that I've done, and For Glory and Sunshine and Sugar Pops, these other properties that we developed at the beach. We would go to Brimfield, Massachusetts, for Vintage a few times. And then we went to Round Top, Texas, another big show, probably the biggest show, Vintage Markets. And, you know, I've taken Ella to flea markets in Brooklyn, in London, in Paris, you know, big cities. And I knew that she had developed a real appetite on her own for vintage, you know, and it made me really happy. It made me really happy because there's a lot of art there. There's a lot of creativity there. And I certainly really learned a lot going with my mother and then my father, and I really loved it. It was creative. There was history. It was laid back. I just loved it. So I was really happy that my daughter, you know, was really, you know, taking on this interest herself. And so I had her, you know, basically be my art intern last summer when I was tying things up for Sugar Pops, which was the third property that we finished right around the time she was beginning her first semester of grad school. So with this new property and with her spring break, which was last week, I said, Ella, would you like to go down to such and such in North Carolina, you know, to look for vintage for Sugar Pines, which is what we're going to call the new property? And she said, oh, I would love to. So the godfather had to be in Dallas last week for a few days for a meeting. And so I said, we'll leave on Monday. You know, we'll be gone a few days. I don't really know how much time we'll be gone because I don't know what we're going to see, right? And she said, fine. So when we were pulling out of the driveway Monday morning, she said, are we going to stay in hotels or what? And I said, yeah, I'm sure we will. And she said, what do you mean? You didn't make reservations? And I was like, no. She was like, what? And I was like, no. So I knew we wanted to go to Selma, which is this sort of town 2.5 hours or so south of Richmond that is noted for, you know, for these antique markets. So we went to there, and then I knew I wanted to, I think we stayed, yeah, we stayed in Selma that night and continued the next day in Selma. And then I knew I wanted to go to Durham to Nomadic Trading, which was, you know, a company that I had purchased things from at Brimfield in Massachusetts, and also in Round Top at Texas. We had bought chairs from them, end tables, lighting, and I knew their aesthetic. I knew where they bought from, and I knew that I wanted to go to their warehouse. So we went to their warehouse, and then we drove to Concord, which is where the biggest antique market was that I wanted to go to and what I wanted to show her. And that was the Depot. It was amazing. It was so much fun. So when we were on this road trip, she got a text and she said, oh, this is a text from Ben. And I was like, yeah, what does he say? And Ben was the guy that we met in Antigua. And she said, hi, Ella. Or he said, I've been traveling. I received your text when I was on vacation, and then I got back and I was traveling. And I would love to, you know, chat. Do you have time for a call on Monday or Tuesday? And she wrote back, yes. And long story short, they scheduled, you know, a time for a call the following morning, which was Wednesday morning. And, you know, the godfather and I were, you know, coaching her on, you know, what to say and, you know, what questions she might want to consider asking. You know, just because, I mean, she's young, she's inexperienced with this type of particular dynamic, and she didn't know this guy. And I said, Ella, you know, what would you tell a friend of yours who had not met Daddy? I said, you know, Daddy's a heavy hitter, and you've certainly been around other heavy hitters, and you know them to be just like everybody else. You know, they're nice, they're dynamic, et cetera, et cetera. If you had a friend that was going to be interviewing with Daddy and all they knew about Daddy was, you know, his credentials, his experience on paper, and they might think, oh, you know, they might feel intimidated unnecessarily, but they might feel that way as a young person, what would you tell them? And she said, I would tell them to chill out, you know? And I said, well, exactly. That's what I'm telling you. I've met this person. Daddy's met this person. You have a sense of a person's nature pretty early on. And people that are dynamic and that are entrepreneurial and that are open-minded, free-thinking, creative, they understand the value of mentoring. They want to help young people. because they understand how important it is for things to develop and for things to move. And they are open-minded and open-hearted people. That is my experience. And I remember thinking that when I was young, like in a little bit after college. And I had this idea, you know, that I was aware that I could benefit from certain kinds of help. And I was aware that I was certainly not getting it. And I was aware that there was no reason for me not getting it. Certainly, I made things happen on my own. But I also had a very strong knowing at that juncture that, you know, my awareness was, you know, there are adults that could be helping me. There are adults that should be helping me, and they're not. I'm not going to be that way when I'm older. I will help young people. I definitely will. And I always have. And so has the Godfather. And, you know, like recognizes like. I had this understanding that this guy Ben was like this. So anyway, Claire and myself and her two cutie little boys, Woods and Reese, were out and we went to, excuse me, I'm thirsty. We were, I can never remember the name of the store. Dang it, I can't remember the name of the store. It's a store that you can buy lots of stuff for the garden and the farm. And, you know, if you have certain kind of farm animals, blah, blah, blah. I don't know why I can never remember. Oh, Tractor Supply. That's what it was. So we were at Tractor Supply, and I knew that Ella's call was going to be at 10:30. I said, call me after. And, you know, she called me. And I had talked to her before, and the Godfather had talked to her before. And then she called me back. She said they talked for 45 minutes. And he said, you know, he went through her portfolio, and he went through some blog posts that she had written and said, you're a very good writer. And she didn't even know that he was going to look back that far, but read everything and looked at everything. And, you know, one of her earlier posts, she had written about wanting to do something, but decided not to. And he brought up Warren Buffett and said, it's important to know, you know, what you don't want to do. He valued, you know, her mind. And he said, I think it's interesting, you know, you coming from parents with strong personalities and being the youngest of four, you having to, you know, find your seat at the table. I didn't know that he had thought of myself or the Godfather as strong personalities. But again, you can pick up on people's natures when you have a certain kind of connection. It doesn't take a long time. I am a strong personality. The Godfather is a strong personality. And, you know, the skill sets that we have happen to combine in ways that are challenging for sure, but also favorable. So the blog post that he happened to read, I had not read it. So, I read it and I'm going to read it here. And what she wrote was, I'm the fourth daughter of a business-minded entrepreneur father and an eccentric creative mother. I've grown up seeing how the two minds intertwine, and it had a profound impact on my thinking. This sparked my interest in graphic design. It's creative with a purpose, and it's the art side of business. Being the youngest in a family of six big personalities has shaped who I am, and I wouldn't change a thing about it. Another major driver for me is my experience traveling. I am 22 years old. She's now older than that, so this was a while ago that she wrote this. I am 22 years old. She wrote it as an undergraduate, probably her junior year. She's 24 now. I am 22 years old and have been to 16 countries and I am eternally grateful. I grew up being pulled out of school to travel and was taught that you learn more through experience than school. Teachers were never happy. They didn't understand how in awe I would be for the weeks I wouldn't be in school. They didn't understand that travel made me more well-rounded and empathetic. They didn't understand that traveling took me out of our bubble of privilege and showed me how big the world really is. They were bitter and showed it. So I felt like I had to show them I was smart, but in my own way. I became angry, too, in school. Authority became an issue. Halfway through junior year is when Mr. Damore, the in-school suspension supervisor, became my favorite teacher. He took me seriously and treated me like an adult with mutual respect. He always allowed me to use my laptop for my graphic arts class, so I spent the 8-hour days glued to the Adobe suite. I learned about Swiss typography design in high school, and I took that and ran with it. I had some interest in psychedelic design and grunge, but my brain deemed it too difficult and ruled it out. I recently recognized this, and I don't want to make it a habit, so I'm actively going the extra mile, not taking the easy way out. I don't want my designs to suffer due to laziness, because they have in the past. However, that's not to say that minimalism is easy. I learned from my mom that knowing when to stop designing can often be harder than the design itself. I came to college and tried to continue with my clean style, and it worked for a while. As I'm continuing to learn about myself, I realized that what that feeling was in high school was angst, and I still have some. I am finally learning how to hone it and express it in design, pushing my own boundaries. Who knew not every design had to use the same grid with some Helvetica? My goal is to contribute and give back to graphic design. I want to create cutting-edge design solutions and be hands-on in creative processes. I believe that there is something inside of me waiting to come out and that there is good to come. I just have to make it happen. This is growth. It is an arc of growth, but it is also a recognition that, my daughter, with this open heart and open mind that she has and had, is not always the type of nature or personality that certain other types of personalities or natures in positions of authority recognize or appreciate. And yet it's clear that what this, head of in-school suspension was somebody that was willing to let somebody be free. There's so many instances of people of our time and times before our time that that were really not interested so much in what other people were doing. They really didn't care. They were happy for other people to do what they were doing, but they really wanted time and space to do what they were doing, right? Show me Benjamin Franklin, Elon Musk, Thomas Edison, Steve Jobs, Gates, a lot of these, John Kennedy, a lot of these people were not the best students. A number of them dropped out of school. It has nothing to do with intellect or freedom of thinking. The Godfather does not have an MBA from some, name brand business school. I don't have a degree in design from any art school, but we've made our way anyway, and it's because we just followed our gut and followed our intuition, and it is so incredibly satisfying when there are creatures out there who recognize just by listening and just by having these open hearts and minds to others that have the same. I mean, I am proud. I am proud of my children. I am proud that they, you know, they march to their own drum, that they are free to speak their mind, that they are free to live their lives in ways that they feel are native to themselves. They are free to do that. And they know that. And I, that's probably the thing that I'm the most proud of. And they are embraced for it and certainly not judged. When we built our first project down in the Outer Banks, I don't know if I've said this. I think I have said it about the guy that walked over to the dunes, when it was myself, the godfather, and our builder, Alan. He walked across the dunes and he said, "Hi, you know, I'm Ike. We like earth tones." And so we're like, "Great, you know, hi, Ike." And that's all we knew about him. That's all he wanted us to know about him, was that he and his wife like earth tones. That's great, you know, but because we didn't know anything else about him, we just called him Earth Tone Ike. And of course, our house was not earth tones. It had a red roof. It was white with blue shutters. And we got a lot of pushback for that. But we didn't care because we were just doing what we felt was right for us. You know, and we're glad that we did. And we set a standard. And unfortunately, there's now people down there, you know, ripping off our standard. But, you know, that's, there's nothing we can do about that. All we know is that we did what we needed to do. And I never understand why others have a hard time with that. I think it's interesting that my daughter recognized that her teachers were bitter and they showed it. You know, teachers by definition are supposed to be teaching. And if you're a teacher, then you should be glad that your student is happy to learn. You know, I've always thought that that game was so rigged. I knew that from a very young age, that the teachers really don't give a damn about what I know. They care about what answers I've gotten correct, you know, on the test that they've written. But there's so many other things that I know. And I still feel that way. You know, I've always said, you know, I don't have time for a job because I'm too busy working. I don't have time, you know, for school because I'm too busy learning. I just learn in my own way. And if that, you know, I know what that feels like to sort of, you know, be on the outside of that kind of conditional thought. You know, you're smart enough to know that you're unconventional. You don't think that way. But being unconventional is what this world needs, and it's not a bad thing. It's something that should be encouraged and embraced. And I expect to see that on my grandchildren. I certainly want to see it on my grandchildren. I see it and my children, you know, in their parenting styles. So anyway, you know, life is but a dream, ladies and gentlemen. Ella, you know, really wanted to live in New York this summer doing an internship. And so he says, "Let's talk tomorrow about what you want to do." So she will be doing an internship in NYC, summer 2024. And you know, Mafia Wipe's going to be getting on that train and chug-a-lugging up to NYC to see my girl. It's a very easy train ride and I really love it. I love it. Anyway, food for thought. Hope all is well. TTYL. Bye.